May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated, please. We hear Jesus say this morning, I am the resurrection. Their words are hope for a grief-driven sister who stands at the tomb of her brother. Perhaps they're words of hope for us as well as we gather here. I am resurrection. I am life. It's not only at this time of year when we make our way through these last days of Lent that we find ourselves drawn to that concept, that idea, resurrection. This symbol is a strange notion of death defeated. It lies at the heart of our faith. And yet it seems that so often resurrection is something we can't quite grasp, cannot quite get a hold of, or perhaps something that we cannot quite let it get a hold of us. What do you think of when you talk about resurrection? What do you think when you hear the exchange about resurrection that takes place between Jesus and Martha? Lord, if you had been here, she says, my brother would not have died. It almost sounds like she's scolding him, doesn't it? Criticizing him for not being there on time. But there's no response to that emotional content for Jesus. Instead, he speaks to her about resurrection. Martha, he says, your brother will rise again. And after hearing these words, Martha thinks, I suspect like us all, that she understands what he's saying. She thinks he's talking about some kind of hope for a future event, a hope for a resurrection that will come at the end of things. Kind of like a pie in the sky by and by response, I think. But Jesus isn't talking about the future. Really not very often that we hear Jesus talk about the future, if you look. Now, more often than not, and certainly in this case, Jesus is talking about the present, the here and now. Look at the construct of the sentence. I am, not will be, I am the resurrection, he says. Martha, you're missing the point here. You don't see I and the resurrection. I'm not talking about something that's going to happen out there tomorrow or the next day or a million years from now. I'm talking about someone. I'm talking about now. I'm not trying to say something nice to make you feel better, Martha. I'm saying that the resurrection is about here and now. Resurrection is about the present moment. That's right, Martha, he's saying. I am the resurrection. And while you're at it, you might as well throw in life as well, because that's what resurrection is all about. Life, not death. Martha, that resurrection is going to happen even as I stand before you. A resurrection that finds expression not in the future, but in the present. A resurrection that is a natural consequence of having an encounter with Jesus. Now, perhaps in Martha's defense, it's only a few minutes later we find Jesus standing at the grave weeping. Seeing this, we might be led to ask, is the resurrection really about now and not the future? Why is he crying? What's up with that? Well, maybe the reason that Jesus stands at the grave of his friend Lazarus crying is this. He's looking around himself, and he sees himself surrounded by a bunch of people who are themselves held in the grip of death. Here he is, the Son of God, the firstborn of creation, the firstborn of the dead, the very resurrection itself, standing right there in the flesh in front of them, and all they're able to do is look right past him, or right through him, or around him or whatever, and all they see is death. Maybe the tears that Jesus sheds while he stands there at the tomb are tears of grief, not because he sees his friend dead, but rather grief because he sees how preoccupied we unfortunate human creatures allow us to become when we're in the grip of death. Grief because he sees how willing we seem to give power to death, to give up our lives to death. Jesus weeps because he sees that even when we look straight into the face of resurrection, even when we see new life standing right in front of us, still we humans seem unable to accept that new life. Still, we seem unable to reach out and take a hold of it, or better yet, to allow it to reach out and take a hold of us. There's a poem that kind of plays with this idea. It's by a Greek Orthodox poet named Scott Carn. It's called Coming Forth. It's written in the voice of Lazarus, speaking of his life after Jesus raised him. It's a favorite of mine, and I want to share it with you, but I want to warn you as well not to take it too seriously. It uses the comic to heighten our understanding of resurrection, and it's written with a certain playfulness in mind. It goes like this. I'm sorry. I have a hard time not laughing even now. This ridiculous grin won't get off my face. Dying did it, though I don't remember much about being dead. Sometimes terrible things happen. Children die, famine sets in, whole towns are slapped down and turned to dust by earthquake. I can't help it. These things start me laughing, so I can't stop. My friends all hate me. The morning my sister cracked her hip, I was worthless. I had to run clear out to the clay field to keep everyone from seeing how it broke me up. I know you think I'm trash, worse than a murderer or a petty god. I suppose I am. I just get this quiver started in me every time someone I know dies and stays dead. I tremble all over and have to hold myself as if some crazy thing in me were anxious to get out. I told you I can't remember being dead. I can't, but this weakness in my knees or in my throat keeps me thinking. Whatever comes next should be 1,000 worlds better than this. As we move into the final days of Lent, don't forget that no matter how you slice it, life is not about death. Life is about life. It always has been, so don't get focused on the death that surrounds your life, that becomes all that you can see. For when we're true to ourselves as Christians, as Scott Carn reminds us, we are a people who have a hard time not laughing even now. We're people with a ridiculous grin on our face. Worthless folk who find it humorous every time someone we know dies and stays dead. Christians are folk who know that whatever comes next, it's going to be 1,000 worlds better than this. We're a folk who know that resurrection life is not limited only to what comes next. Resurrection life doesn't just happen in the future. Resurrection is not some pious notion dreamt up by funeral homes to make us feel better. Resurrection is always about here and now. Resurrection is about the unconquerable power of life. Resurrection is not something that we're waiting for. It's something we're looking for. Looking for because it's always here. It's always there, just outside the periphery of our vision, but nonetheless there. So don't forget, whatever comes next is going to be 1,000 worlds better than this. That's the promise Christ makes, and that's the promise Christ will keep. Count on it. Amen.